1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Questions about what's next when it comes to access for abortion. That's after conflicting rulings on Friday. Federal judge in Texas suspended FDA approval of the abortion drug mifepristone, but a judge in Washington State ruled it must remain available where it's still legal. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more from Washington.
Attorney General Merrick Garland arguing the Texas ruling overturns the FDA's expert judgment, rendered over two decades ago, that mifepristone is safe and effective. A competing decision Friday from a federal judge in Washington state determined mifepristone should stay available, making it likely the Supreme Court will ultimately weigh in.
Pope Francis today prayed for peace in his Easter message delivered in St. Peter's Square. He also celebrated Mass. Tiger Woods withdrew from the Masters. He was facing the prospect of playing 29 holes today after rain wiped out most of the third round. Brooks Koepka's in the overall lead. This is ABC News. President Biden travels to Ireland this week to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which brought peace to Northern Ireland. He'll also visit Ballina, home of one of his ancestors. He visited there in 2016 when he was vice president and stopped in Dominic Fitzpatrick's bar.
Hey, I would like to see him again. He was very easy looked after.
City leaders in Nashville have to find a replacement for a state lawmaker expelled last week, and they're poised to send that representative back to the Capitol.
After being expelled from the state house for breaking rules of decorum, Democrat Justin Jones could be on his way back. Nashville Vice Mayor Jim Shulman says he expects the city council to rename Jones to his old seat as an interim replacement.
My guess would be that the council is going to suspend the rules and vote on sending Justin Jones back to the House of Representatives.
Shulman says a vote is scheduled for Monday. Jones was one of two Democrats expelled from the House on Thursday, while a third Democrat, Gloria Johnson, was spared. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Spring is almost here, and that means the environment will get a few months off from damaging road salt. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature to certify people who apply road salt and encourage them to do it responsibly. Mike Moen reports.
The DNR would be tasked with establishing training for individual commercial applicators who would learn methods for spreading snow and ice melting products that protect water quality. Representative Elijah Benke is a lead sponsor on the assembly side and noted the impact of salt ending up in waterways is becoming hard to ignore.
Harmful effects have been noticed in our native aquatic organisms and other freshwater ecosystems.
To ease any concerns from the business community, the bill has language surrounding liability protections to shield applicators from lawsuits stemming from a slip and fall incident. Others who testified noted the plan can reduce salt from being spread around while still protecting public safety. The measure has bipartisan support as well as backing from environmental advocates. University of Wisconsin professor Hillary Dugan testified in support of the bill. Speaking on her own behalf, she noted efforts to curb salt use go beyond protecting habitat and waterways.
And this hurts recreational activities, it hurts property values. Thinking about if your private groundwater well gets salty, your property values reduced, you're left without drinkable water.
Dugan says state and local snowplow operators have made strides in being more efficient with their application of road salt or switching to less harmful products. She says incentivizing private contractors can accelerate progress. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
And speaking of suffragettes, Anastasia, say hello on the board here.
Hi, good morning.
Love to have you here. And Anastasia and I were working election night, and looks like a new day in Wisconsin on some levels. And to talk about our elections later on in the show, Jim Santel gets here early before morning cannolis to talk about the impact of the elections, what that will mean for Waukesha. And before I introduce my first guest, we have a few guests this morning. I want to congratulate Waukesha South varsity coach, baseball coach, John Stillman on winning his first game as the varsity head coach for Waukesha South baseball. They beat South Milwaukee 14-2. Their game drew national attention, and not necessarily for the wonderful Coach Stillman, but for two players in particular, Eric Teagues and Tyler Pudliner, who we all know by now were seriously injured in the Christmas parade attacks from 2021. And so NBC News National came to do kind of a follow-up, a story of recovery. So, and it was a great night for those two young men, especially Eric Teagues, who went 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs and a walk. And, you know, those two young men are symbols of this community's faith, courage, and resilience. And we know it'll be a special Easter weekend for them and their families after taking the first win at Frame Park. They followed Carroll University, who beat North Park 9-5. So congrats to Carroll. And speaking of Carroll, a great lead into our first guest, Taylor Jansen, who on March 31st, it was announced he was the interim head coach at Carroll University. On March 31st, they officially removed the interim tag, and he is now the 27th coach in Carroll University basketball history. Coach, welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. So, interim head coach, you know, usually that's middle of the season, like tail end of the season. But, Coach, you were named after two games, so you pretty much coached a full season. How did that go for you? Were you ready for that, did you feel? I know you're the assistant coach at the time.
So I think there's a few ways to look at it. It was very unexpected. So I was not preparing to be a collegiate head coach at that point.
Right.
But the good thing for me and from my past experience was that I have coached a lot of games before.
Okay.
And you know, it wasn't in the same capacity. College basketball is a different beast, and the coaches in the CCIW are really good. There's a lot more layers to coaching a team at the collegiate level than coaching AAU. But at the end of the day, basketball is still basketball. And there's still concepts and things that you believe in. You know how to run a practice. You've implemented practice plans before. You've communicated with athletes and players. So I think there was some things that, like, you know, I was prepared to do, and I did have a good role previously to that too, where I had a voice within the team. So I you know, all things considered, was I perfectly prepared? Absolutely not. Did it work out okay? And did I feel confident in taking over the role and being able to do as good of a job as I possibly could have? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's terrific. And you also played for Carroll. I have to mention class of 2011, which I believe makes you 33 years old.
33 years old.
So we've got a young coach here and a Carroll alumnus. So it feels like you're back at home.
Yeah, no, and the thing is, I've always lived here. I graduated from Pewaukee High School in 2007, went to Carroll, graduated 2011, and I've always been in Wisconsin. So whether it was Tosa, whether it was back in Pewaukee, and then my wife and I actually live in Waukesha now. So
nice.
I've always been in the community, and you know, I'm thankful to be able to drive 7 or 8 minutes to get to work on a full-time basis now at Carroll. So it's a great fit, and it's a place that I've been my whole entire life, and I'm thankful to continue to be here.
That sounds great. And so my text is going off. My wife Melissa says hi because she's a director of instruction at La Casa de Esperanza, and she's reminding me that you bring your team over to read to the kids and basically set good, you know, role models for good reading skills. Is that correct?
Yeah, and Coach Combs actually started that previously. Okay. And he kind of spearheaded that program, working with Sharp Literacy, and the guys embrace it. Our coaches embrace it. We kind of all figure out a schedule that works for all of us, so that all the coaches can all get over there and the players can all get over there. But in its roots, it's just a really good concept, and it's a way that we can impact the community and get outside of ourselves, get outside of our little bubble of just playing basketball and going to school and see what's going on in the community and get a chance to impact the younger generation. So it's a really cool thing, and it's a really good opportunity. We're going to keep doing it.
Terrific. Well, that means a lot. And I know it means a lot to the people at La Casa and everyone here in Waukesha. Now, I also learned a little about you as after graduating, you continued your basketball career with your own business called PMAX. What was that all about?
So that was just the way for me. I mean, I had a lot of passion for I still do have a ton of passion for the game, obviously. But, you know, I wanted to stay in basketball after I got done playing in college. In a way that it kind of came about was I had a couple people in the Pewaukee community approach me like, hey, are you willing to come in and work with our youth team? And did that. I loved it. They started to tell other people. Other people started to tell other people. I was coaching some AAU. So I just started to develop some relationships and connections within the game. And that kind of side business, if you will, or side thing that I was doing turned into my full-time business. So I was running camps, doing clinics, doing small group workouts, some individuals.
Oh, that's great.
And then coaching some pretty high-level AAU as well.
Neat. That's great. But now you get to do all that in this full-time role, correct, as head coach?
Yeah, yeah. And I still, there's going to be a couple of relationships that are longstanding that I'll still be able to work with, especially in the summer. Our guys aren't here in the summer.
Right.
So, you know, it allows me to still run camps in this area and still work with some players that I have longstanding relationships with. But yeah, I mean, the coaching basketball part of it, running a program part of it, that's all taken care of at Carroll, being the men's basketball coach there.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Now, after this, because Coach Jansen's only here for the first segment, he's going to be driving to Green Bay this morning. What's the occasion?
So there's actually a cool event. It's new that a group is putting on up there where it's just some really good independent Wisconsin teams that are playing at one site in Green Bay. It's called the Workshop up there.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go up there and just start to really hone in on some Wisconsin kids. Some are in the surrounding communities of Milwaukee and Waukesha. There's other kids that are a little bit further up north, but we're just going to start evaluating the class of 2024 and, you know, really try to identify some kids who will be a good fit for Carroll moving forward.
Wow. That's going to be a great experience. So,
yeah, no, excited. It anytime you get to be out and watching kids and evaluating them and just thinking about the vision of your program and what kids align with that and who would be fun to play with the guys that we currently have. It's always a fun process, and it's a privilege to be able to do that we have the opportunity to kind of evaluate kids and pick who fits into our vision.
That sounds great. Now, let's say you get an official visit and you're up there in the Green Bay area or wherever, and I know you want to recruit locally. What's your elevator pitch to these young men about why they should take a really hard look at your program here at Carroll?
Well, I think you kind of have to understand a little bit about that kid too. Mm-hmm. You need to understand where they're at in their development process. You know, because there's a lot of ways you can go with it, but I think at the root of all of it is that like Carroll's a great place to be. It's not going to be a campus where you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to get kind of bottled up.
Yeah,
and there's very individualized attention, both with academics. And then I feel like in our program, we're going to invest in guys. We're going to connect with guys. We're going to pour our hearts into them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there for them as humans. We have a great community outside of Carroll that wants to help the players within our program. So I think those things are kind of the foundations of it. But I think then you also have to be able to evaluate where that kid's at, what they're looking for, and be able to kind of help them understand why or how Carroll can be a good fit for the things that they're looking for as well.
Sure, sure. That's terrific. Well, it doesn't hurt either. You've got a coach that's very young. And, you know, we had Coach Buddha and Coach Holly here on the football side, and they're both very young. So there's a real youth movement going on in Carroll Athletics. Is that safe to say in terms of the coaching
leadership? I guess I didn't really think about it too much. Yeah. I think, you know, Coach Buddha, Coach Holly, I've gotten to know both. I've gotten to know the whole football stuff. I've gotten to know a lot of the coaches. Yeah. You know, that are upstairs in the offices, and there's a lot of really good people. And I think there's a lot of people trying to continue to elevate Carroll and make it a better place and make it a more attractive place to be. And there's always foot traffic. There's always a lot of athletes on campus. I think everybody's trying to raise the bar of their program and keep pushing the athletic department forward.
That's terrific. That's got to be really exciting. And so I was reading in one of the earlier articles that you were introducing maybe a more faster-paced, up-tempo game, you know, for the Pios. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the things, to be completely honest. Like, if you listen to, you know, any press conferences this time of the year, like, everybody's going to kind of say, like, they want to play fast. We do, too. I mean, there's not a doubt about it. And that is going to be something that we're going to try to – we're going to try to set our identity. We want to be the aggressors. We want to be the team that others have to prepare for. And I think, you know, a fun way to play the game, a fun thing for people to watch, is when players kind of are in control of the game and they're free to make decisions. They play with a ton of confidence. There's an underlying structure that connects them, but I think the more we give the game to them, and they want to play that way. They want to get up and down the floor. They want to shoot when they're open. They don't want to have to look over their shoulder and think, like, am I going to come out here, or is this a good shot? Like, I want them to play free, but you know, with that comes coaching. You got to teach, and you got to make sure that they understand what a good shot is, and that we're not just running up and down the floor and taking terrible shots and putting ourselves in a position to lose. But so it's finding a balance. It's can we play smart? But can we also play with a great sense of freedom and a great sense of confidence? Because then it becomes a player's game. And I think when it becomes a player's game, it's more fun to play in. It's more fun to watch. And ultimately, I think it's the way that the game should be played, in my own personal opinion.
Well, and if you're adding that speed element to the game, does that mean you'd be going deeper into your bench and using more?
Potentially. And I think that all depends on the players that we have. But yes, in theory, if you're getting up and down the floor, you probably, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher to play six or seven guys. Like, you need to have some depth, and you need to have multiple guys who can all shoot, pass, put the ball on the floor, play defense, and make quality decisions on the basketball court.
Sure. That's great. Is there a coach that you'd consider a role model, like any legendary basketball coach, or maybe one of your mentors growing up?
There's tons. I mean, I think of guys that even I've gotten to know in the recruiting process on the other side of it, with players that I've worked with or players that I've coached in AAU. Mm-hmm. I think just in Wisconsin, you know, Shaka Smart did an unbelievable job this year. You know, and I just admire the way he talks to players, the way he handles himself in the media. He's very genuine. He's very authentic. You know, so I really like him. I mean, you know, I've gotten to know a couple other coaches pretty well. I think, you know, but he comes to mind just in this area that people are familiar with. Like, Shaka's just, he's
a great fit for that. You know, if anyone emulates or resembles the great Al McGuire, I think it's Shaka Smart.
Yeah, and he just is who he is, and that's the thing that I think is, like, commendable and respectable about him, is, like, he's not trying to be anybody that he's not. And do I want to be exactly like him? Do I want to play exactly like him?
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 63. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 47. 66 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 72. With daytime highs approaching 73, 76 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley. Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop and order now. The shop closes April 10th.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 65. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 44. Tonight, cloudy skies, mainly sunny. Tomorrow, highs level off around 67. Partly cloudy Tuesday, with highs around 71. 76 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. Talk about a classic. Late 70s, early 80s rock, Blondie's Heart of Glass. Now, Heart of Glass, you think it's, I don't know, maybe someone that's sensitive or fragile, or I don't know, it's maybe some negative connotations, but we have a gentleman here today who sees glass in an entirely different light. We're really proud to have, and he is a new Civic Media sponsor, Rick Postian of Next Tech and Glass Pro. Rick, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. You're one of the first people to ever pronounce that correctly.
All right. Woo! How about it? Well, so my last name's Brown with an E, and so it's either Brownie or, you know... And that's fine. That was one of our nicknames. Or when they're spelling it, they forget the E, which is very offensive to me. But no, anyway. But Rick, as you know better than most of us, when any of us are thinking glass, we're thinking like, you know, baseball through the window or something broken or shit. Like you never think, you know, you never just, like you were saying before the show, you don't sit in your living room, look at your window and say, boy, I could really use I could use some new glass or some shiny new, or whatever it is. But
you don't generally window shop. You don't sit around looking for a new dishwasher. So I'm not going to sit around and be like, oh, hey, I think I'm going to replace this window today. It just looks a little funny to me.
Yeah, yeah. I hear. What inspired you to go into glass?
I've always been an entrepreneur. So I've had several businesses throughout my childhood. And when I got a little bit older, I started working for one of the big national glass companies. And just kind of got sick and tired of the corporate garbage and decided
to go. Small business guy.
Decided to go out on my own.
That's terrific. And so how many years has Next Tech been around?
We started in 2010, so we are starting our 13th year.
Congratulations. Thank you. Lucky 13. How many employees do you have? Johnny wants to know. Johnny Watermelon's here in the studio with us this morning.
Well, we have a total of 16 employees.
16. That's great. That's fantastic. And you're out of New Berlin, but you do a lot of business here in the Shaw, and your coverage area in Milwaukee, it's throughout Milwaukee, it's auto, commercial, and residential. Did I get that correct?
Correct. So in January, we actually bought out Glass Pro on Holly and Blue Mound Road.
Wow. Okay.
So that kind of gave us an introduction into the commercial and residential glass side of the business.
That's fantastic. And Holly and Blue Mound, is that Waukesha officially? Do we know that, Mary Jane?
No, that's close to the stadium, the AmFam.
Over near, okay.
Yeah, by all the...
Henry Aaron Park.
Yep.
Right.
Love it. Okay.
Right down the road.
Well, that's great.
Very busy intersection.
Terrific. So residential and commercial, which is great because you're covering both markets. What is your typical, what tips do you have for residents in terms of maintaining the lifespan of their glass, their windows, and their...
There really isn't much you can do. It's all about the production of the window. So
okay.
When you are looking for window replacements in your house, not mm-hmm. just the glass,
right?
Don't go the cheap route. I mean, if you want a piece of glass in there that lasts a lot longer, I mean, I'm going to run myself out of business doing that if you go and buy more expensive windows. But the higher quality window, the higher quality the glass is, the longer that seal's going to last for you.
Sure, sure. That's terrific. And what percentage of your business would you say is residential versus the commercial and the auto?
You know, right now I would say auto is the primary focus on our business. We're really pushing more for the commercial residential side of the business now.
Sure.
So there's a lot of branding that's going to be done and a lot of new promotions that'll be coming out for that side of the business.
That's exciting, yeah. So in this is the peak season, just so people are thinking home improvements and or new construction.
Yeah, well, if you're like me and you have four kids, they play baseball in the backyard and end up throwing a baseball through one of your windows. And so now you've got to go ahead and get that replaced.
Sure, sure. Oh, I remember those days. Just wait till your father gets home.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. So you're the guy, you're the hero then that comes in. And
I got to be the hero of my own house. Yeah.
Some kid jacks a home run or a foul ball. So, that's right. Or golf ball and some of the.
We've had a few people call in say, "Oh, my husband was playing golf in the backyard and ended up putting the golf ball through the picture window."
Sure, sure. Now with the auto, do you deal directly with the auto repair shops? Or are you selling direct to consumer?
Now, most of our business is direct to consumer. So, a lot of new technology coming out in windshields,
right?
With the forward collision alerts and the lane departures.
Sure.
So a couple years ago, we invested in that technology. So we do a lot of work with the insurance companies now to be able to replace your windshield and also recalibrate those cameras all at the same time.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And so what's that customer experience like when they come they come right to your shop, if it were?
You don't even need to.
Or you go to them?
No, we do mobile service. When it comes to the new technology, there is a lot that does need to come to the shop just because of the target systems.
Okay.
But we do offer mobile service. Sure. So we come right to you and take care of it, go right to your house, your work.
Okay.
You want to go to the zoo with the kids, we'll come out there and take care of it while you're at the zoo with the kids.
Now, how do we get a hold of you, Rick, if someone decides, hey, you know, like that crack in my windshield is just driving me nuts?
So we actually have two numbers. Our main number is 414-409-7263. And then our Milwaukee location is 414-453-1060. Okay. But we also are in the process.
409-7263. And what's the other one?
453-1060.
453.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Civic Media. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Questions about what's next when it comes to access for abortion. That's after conflicting rulings on Friday. Federal judge in Texas suspended FDA approval of the abortion drug mifepristone, but a judge in Washington State ruled it must remain available where it's still legal. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more from Washington.
Attorney General Merrick Garland arguing the Texas ruling overturns the FDA's expert judgment, rendered over two decades ago, that mifepristone is safe and effective. A competing decision Friday from a federal judge in Washington state determined mifepristone should stay available, making it likely the Supreme Court will ultimately weigh in.
Pope Francis today prayed for peace in his Easter message delivered in St. Peter's Square. He also celebrated Mass. Tiger Woods withdrew from the Masters. He was facing the prospect of playing 29 holes today after rain wiped out most of the third round. Brooks Koepka's in the overall lead. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Jail guards in Wisconsin can now choose better pensions. Governor Evers signed a bill into law yesterday that counts jail guards among Wisconsin's protective occupation participants. Police officers, firefighters, and prison guards are already in that group. Jail guards in Wisconsin can now retire earlier and get disability for injuries on the job. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is pushing for more money in the state budget for the State Office of School Safety. Call wants a little more than $2 million. The Office of School Safety was created 5 years ago after the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Federal money for the office runs out in December. In sports, the Brewers are winners of five of their first six games. They host St. Louis tonight. The Bucks welcome Memphis. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
And to help Wisconsin schools in the process, go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. And yes, the election's over. But there's a more important election coming up, in my opinion, in my heart anyway. Every day until April 28th, you have the opportunity to do the right thing and elect Warren Zevon to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame posthumously. That was Lawyers, Guns, and Money, another one of his great hits. But please do the right thing. Do it now. Every day you get to vote at least once. And speaking of lawyers, guns, and money, now I am joined by my very good friend and legal counsel here at the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, James Santel. We're going to talk more at length. Jim, how are you this morning?
Don, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on once again this morning. Yeah.
And Jim, as I found out, is a big science fiction film fan, and he insisted on being part of this
Absolutely.
Interview.
Absolutely.
We have a very young talent who's called all the way from New York. Is he on, Anastasia? Okay. Davis, are you there?
Hello? I'm here, yeah. How's it going, Don?
Hey, great, great. How are things in the Big Apple?
They're great, yeah. It's warming up, starting to get some nice spring weather here. I'm excited.
Love it, love it. So, Davis Brown is my nephew, and that's why I have James Santel here. As an attorney, we don't want any conflict of interest.
None whatsoever.
Jim might be handling some of the questions, but Davis spent some summers here in Waukesha, has some fond memories, but he went to Fordham University in New York and majored in film, and he's already, just a few years out of college, he's already got his first feature film out called Capsules, which was awarded the Best Feature Award at the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, and his film was sold to an Oscar-nominated studio following its first festival premiere. You can catch, it's called Capsules, and it's on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. Did I get that right, Davis?
That's correct, yeah.
Sounds good. Tell us about the movie real quick.
Yeah, so it's a sci-fi coming-of-age thriller about these four college kids that find these mysterious pills on the ground. They decide to experiment with them one weekend during finals. And they quickly realize if they don't keep taking them, they'll die. So they have to figure out how they work and how they can escape this loop of sorts.
Sounds creepy. And so I know there were some great reviews during the festivals. What kind of reviews had you had since the release on Amazon Prime and Apple TV?
Yeah, it's been great. We've gotten some really good reviews. Some mixed reviews, also some really good reviews. A couple of days ago, we actually got indie film darling Jim Cummings, who's a very well-known indie film director, and he's very well known for like doing it yourself. So he crowdfunded like $300,000 and made a movie and then sold it to one of the big studios, I want to say like MGM, and it's on Hulu. And so he tweeted and wrote a review about our movie, and wow. He was like, like a rave review, and it was so cool to see that. Okay. And we've gotten a lot of other really cool reviews from like horror sites Rotten Tomatoes approved critics. The response has been really cool, and it's been great to just see like what our friends and family think of it too, and like random people on the internet sure. will tell us about the movie.
That sounds wonderful, Davis. Davis, this is Jim. Very nice to meet you, even remotely, coming in from New York City. This is terrific. You are a recent graduate, right? Just about 4 years out of college. Is that correct?
Yeah, nice to meet you, Jim. I graduated in 2019 from Fordham.
and obviously had an interest in the arts from the very beginning. I noted, among other things, that you've done some short films. Now, I wonder if you could talk to Don and me a little bit about the differences in those styles. This is plainly a feature film, as Don has indicated. You've reported on this morning very enthusiastically and wonderfully, but you've done short films as well. What is the difference, and why does one gravitate toward one as opposed to the other?
Yeah, so short films are really, the way I view them, they're, you know, they're not as accessible in a way. I think that people, like the average person, wants to watch a feature film because you get to tell a full story in, you know, an hour and a half. Whereas short films, to me, have always been a way to, like, kind of develop your voice as a filmmaker, and also, like, prove to other people that you can... that you can make something really good. And I think a lot of filmmakers in the industry will make short films to try and get, you know, the money or the critical acclaim to be able to make a feature film, because it just costs so much more money to make a feature. But I think that's most people's goals. There are probably some people out there that like short films more than feature films, but, you know, like everything you see on Netflix, for the most part, everything you see on Netflix in the theaters is going to be a feature film, but it just takes a lot of time and resources to make one. So I think that's why a lot of people make short films. And that's why earlier in my career, I did make short films.
Absolutely. And I know, believe it or not, Don and Davis, I was in a short film here in the Waukesha area about a year or so ago this time. We'll talk about that some other time. This is about you this morning, Davis. So I know a little bit about the collaboration that you speak about. And I wonder if you could talk to Don and me and all the listeners out there about the fact that, yes, you have this wonderful partner named Luke Momo, I understand, who's a part of your very good movement forward here, but an awful lot of people involved in putting together a feature film. This is no small thing. You don't just wake up in the morning and roll out of bed and put it together. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, Luke and I have worked together since college, and we wanted to make a bigger movie, actually. That was our plan, and we had one budgeted out for about $200,000 to $250,000, and it was like a sci-fi, like, you know, more of like a sci-fi action movie, and sure, there's like a car chase scene, and it would have cost a decent amount of money to make. And we tried for a couple of years to raise money and get producers attached and everything, and it just didn't work out. I think that people thought we were too young and it was just too much of a challenge. So we sat down and said, okay, like, let's try to write something that we can make ourselves. And part of that was getting people on board who were like less experienced, who would buy into the process, right? So we had, I mean, 3 out of 4 of the main actors, myself included, were non-actors. Like, we had done some kind of film or like stage work, but we decided to try our hand in acting, and we had a really small team for this film. It was like 10 people total, including the cast, which is just really small. Like, we had a 1-team sound department, a 2-team camera department, but everybody just really bought in and they loved the project. And there were just such good energy on set that, it really felt like people would kind of take on roles that they weren't necessarily in their job description. And so everybody pitched in, and it was such a collaborative environment. Like, everybody's ideas were welcome. There's no like hierarchy, and it was just, yeah, super collaborative experience, which I think is so important to making something good.
And you did this quickly, do I understand, about 8 days or so? Is that correct?
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah, it was eight and a half days. And I mean, the whole process from coming up with the idea to finishing it was probably around 9 months total, which is very quick.
And my guess is, I am embarrassed to say, I have not yet seen the film. Looking forward to viewing it, of course, along with everyone else. My guess is that energy, that sense of, okay, we've all got to get together and make this all happen. And today I'm going to take out the trash, and tomorrow I'm going to be an actor and that sort of thing. That also translates onto the screen, right? Because that enthusiasm, that commitment to your artistic goal, that can't be bottled and sold. That's just a part of the process, as I suspect.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you discover a lot while you're making it too. And I think you discover when people are less, experienced, and just, it's more on the fly, you know, the project is more on the fly, you discover things, and the film changes as you're making it,
yes,
which is cool.
Right.
And
right.
So that's part of the energy, is that we'll, you know, we filmed the first 3 days, and just one scene was like totally different from how we had written it or how we had planned it out. And it's like, well, that changes like the three previous scenes and then the one scene after that. So it's just we're just constantly adapting, and people were so like on board with it, and they were just so adaptable, and everybody was just kind of had to, you know, learn on the fly, which was really cool.
Yeah, Davis, I have to say objectively, because I'm not a huge science fiction fan, but I believed when I was watching the acting that, you know, you're all very believable. I would have guessed that each of you had an acting background. Would you say your success in pulling that off had the fact to do that you guys are just a few years out of school and you were kind of reliving your college days there, or was it just, you know, the passion for the material and the comfort with it?
I mean, that's a great point. I think that was part of it for sure. I mean, my character personally, because we wrote it, Luke and I wrote it together, and then he wanted me to act in it, and I wasn't sure about acting in it. And I quickly realized, I was like, oh, this character is a version of me already. So I was the kind of irresponsible one that was like always getting the party started. That's kind of my character, you know, for better or for worse, getting the party started. And we all went to, let's see, so two out of the four of us went to Fordham together, me and Caroline Shriver. Caroline Potter Shriver.
That's where the great Vince Lombardi went, for any of you Packer fans out there. Sorry, go ahead, Davis.
Yeah. A lot of great alumni. Denzel Washington actually went there as well. I think that definitely made it easier. It's just like having been a few years out of college. And Luke puts it well, is having graduated and then, you know, like 6 or 7 months after COVID hit. So the way he puts it is his interest in making the film was that he felt like trapped in this time of like college, because he felt like he wasn't able to like move forward into like real life right after college. And I think that's where the idea started, really, about like making something that takes place in college, because we're like, oh, we're going in the real world, and all of a sudden the real world is shut down. So it's like, I think we had those memories especially fresh on our minds when we were making it.
Nice. Now, do you want to stick with the science fiction genre, or are you interested in doing other types of movies?
I'm interested in other type of movies. I actually really like comedies, so I would love to make a comedy one day. And there's some there are definitely some comedic elements to this, especially in the first like third of the film. Luke is a very much, I think this is where Luke and I's styles come together, is that I have a really good, great interest in science fiction. But he more so, you know, like wants to make science fiction films, whereas I'm more in like the comedy drama space, and we come together to make something that I think some of the best films have both elements. They have that high concept and like cool sci-fi stuff going on, but at the end of the day, it is like a drama and a story about these characters. Like some of my favorite movies over the past few years were Ex Machina. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes.
Or Annihilation. And Interstellar. Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. I think those are at the end of the day movies about people. But they have a really cool like science fiction plot and story to them.
And a real humanity to them too. I suspect that's true of your present film and those as well, right? That sense of interrelationship among the characters, even in the midst of, again, science fiction horror in this particular case, but it's got to be about human beings.
And that's, I got to say, if I put my Gene Siskel hat on, is there were moments in the movie where nothing was being spoken, but the way that the cinematography was capturing the mood of the individuals, the close-ups on their faces, it did a great job of communicating the storyline. I thought that was pretty impressive.
So, and thank you, Don. I appreciate that.
I think it has applications for other genres. So, can we ask Davis what your next project is, and could it involve something here in Waukesha where there's so much history, including a silent film history?
Very good, right?
Very
right.
Strong silent
and
film
plenty,
history.
Plenty of actors and producers and sound people and costumers.
And if you want to stay in sci-fi, right, there is a paranormal and UFO history here
absolutely,
in the show as well.
Right,
I've got
right.
some people you can work with, and then the Springs era, if you're looking at any history.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
It is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop and order now. The shop closes April 10th. Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 63. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 47. 66 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 72. With daytime highs approaching 73, 76, Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley. In a reality.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 65. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Lows level off around 44. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 67. Low 70s Tuesday. Warmer on Wednesday with highs in the mid-70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
This week in Waukesha, and this is a classic, One Tin Soldier from the classic movie Billy Jack. And I'm here with Jim Centell, and it feels like we're living in that Billy Jack movie with
it,
you know,
does.
Some of the kind of the scary elements from, I hate to say the far right, but they're just some short-minded people. Right. And
profound challenges, and what do you do day-to-day to try to get through that and overcome that, and about the vision of where we should end up. That's the great challenge of today, right, Don?
It sure is, yeah. And so we had an election on Tuesday night. We were pleased with many of the results, mm-hmm. especially at the Supreme Court. The Waukesha School Board, we gained a progressive in Diane Voigt.
Right.
We did lose... a conservative that our good friend Matt Flynn would call a principled conservative, mm-hmm. and Cory Monteho, right, who in many right. cases was the voice of reason,
right.
and he was replaced by a even more conservative. This, I guess, David Latt is his name, and So what are these implications for Waukesha and the state in your mind, Jim?
Sure. And again, we will, the easy answer, of course, Don, is we will see. Because when we, even I chatted about this, one of the things I think we commented about is one never knows, right? The history of America, certainly the history of Wisconsin and of Waukesha, is that what we think is going to happen, what the predictable comes from the elections and appointments, most often comes to be, but not always. Things happen along the way. I recall very well, for example, obviously the election, for example, of Brian Hagedorn to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and everyone thought at the time, okay, now we're going to have a huge shift, a further shift to the right.
Right.
And again, Brian Hagedorn surprised us in both directions with respect to maps, which I think we'll talk about as well, going in two different directions, candidly, but surprised a lot of people. Same with these recent elected officials coming into office. There is a difference. There is a difference between campaigning and actually governing, as you know well, more than anybody else, right? And so those realities sometimes are impressed upon people, and they come to recognize that what I said in the campaign, I'm going to try to follow up on that, but not necessarily going to be able to achieve that. And so sure. My first point would be just about the unpredictability of things. Mm-hmm. And even with respect to the Supreme Court race, again, affecting Waukesha dramatically, other things going around the state, we don't know. We don't know how these issues will percolate up and out. Mm-hmm. If anyone's says to you today in 2023 in early April that, well, within 2 years this is going to happen, don't believe them. They don't know. They can't predict with certainty. And there are a lot of things that we can, in fact, anticipate. And certainly some of the stories that are going to be coming up to elected officials here in Waukesha, events, decisions to be made to our other courts around the state, those we know about probably. But just that notion that we know with certain how this is going to be in 2024 and beyond, right. We don't know.
Sure. So, and I guess cutting to the chase to what I call issue number one, how soon before the wheels of motion can go into place to start working on the redrawing of our maps?
Absolutely, line drawing, right? Exactly. Yeah. And again, you and I have chatted about this on your fine broadcast in the past. It all has to do with standing. Of course, here's a lawyer talking with you on a Saturday morning about this legal principle. But it basically means is this. If I go into court and I say, gee, a judge, I want you to remedy this problem. I want you to remedy, for example, the lines that are drawn. I've got to be able to stand up in front of that judge, in front of a jury, and say, I have been harmed in some way. I've been damaged in some way. That's called standing. I've got to have some cognizable way of saying that you've got to remedy something and I have suffered as a result of this. And so, again, in terms of timing, we presumably would need to have people come forward and say, in the recent elections under the present scheme of line drawing, and those that were done obviously in the wake of the 2020 census, we know all about the litigation back and forth, both here and at the Supreme Court and frankly around the country, someone's got to come forward and say, okay, in a recent election, this is where I am. And because of the lines being drawn as they are, I was disenfranchised in some way, or more significantly, my opportunity to have someone represent me, perhaps in Madison, maybe locally, has been impacted because of the way the lines were drawn. Cracking, packing is what the gerrymandering is all about. I've got to be able to identify that. You can do that. You need to identify those people. And then what you do, you bring the lawsuit, presumably in the Wisconsin Circuit Court. You're in Waukesha, other places.
I believe one's already been put into place.
Absolutely. Right. It's already percolating up. And that is the process. It doesn't happen overnight. You've got to have findings of fact, all sorts of things like that.
For those listeners on the right, it's not about, and again, because it could happen someday, it's about having a level playing field.
Right.
And
right.
that the legislature reflects the voting public. It's all fair play.
Absolutely.
And because we don't want to discourage people from participating in local politics. I've been very upset that only of 5 or 6 open city council seats, only one was contested, and that was Eric Payne. Congratulations, Eric, I did one, and a great way to celebrate his 20th anniversary this month on the city council. But that local council voted, like recently they approved a huge hotel, Cobblestone Hotel, right. Just right around the corner here, Associated Bank.
Going to change the geography here, right?
Yeah, great, but are people paying attention to that?
Right.
Do you have people in the council that reflect your values with regards to downtown business development?
Right.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity, but are we really doing our homework and our due diligence?
Exactly. And if you are applauding that or you are condemning that, again, if you did not vote, I would offer to you that that's your lesson, right?
Yeah.
You get the government that you vote for, and you're not always going to be successful. That's right. And that means that if you're not successful in seeing your candidates on the local council, in the assembly, in the Senate, in the governor's mansion, what you need to do then is you need to write the letters. You need to do the advocacy. You need to continue to petition for those things that are important to you, and then you vote again. And that's the level playing field that we talked about.
Here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, we can be a resource here for you. So call in or even come see me. I do hold hours during the week. But switching gears, because we only have 2 minutes, and I know time is tight, is we still a lot of attention about the Muskego decision not to do anything on the racist acts.
Right.
And cutting to the chase, is there anything the state legislature, is there anything that the WIA can do to say maybe impose a death penalty on schools where racist acts are performed?
Right. As we have talked before, Don, in another setting about
the WIA.
Exactly, right. It is very clear that this is an organization, an entity that appropriately has a great deal of authority, right? This is not an advisory commission. This is not
they are the law.
They are the law when it comes to these kinds of things. And so what does that mean? All right, they're not a legislative body. They're not the governor. They're not the kinds of folks we were talking about just a moment or so ago. But they are the law that when it comes to the administration of sports.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.